Good evening.
This morning we talked a little bit about the good life, and this evening we're going to talk a little bit about the foolish life, or at least kind of what the perception of that might be. Of course, we read in Psalm 14 and verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. So that's God's opinion on the matter, but there are some who would see it as the opposite. And maybe you've encountered that in your life. It's something that Paul encountered as well. We read in 1 Corinthians 1 in verse 18 that Paul said, for the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. And really, it's been that way ever since Jesus himself was on the cross. Did Christ on the cross seem foolish to those who put him there? Well, they certainly made fun of him, like they believed him to be foolish. Matthew 27 and verse 39, and those who were passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross. And in the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him and saying, he saved others, he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him now come down from the cross and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God rescue him now if he delights in him. For he said, I am the Son of God. Men tried to shame Christ on the cross. But when it was all said and done, was it something to be ashamed of? Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. That is absolutely nothing to be ashamed of. I'm going to go ahead and read the rest. Maybe you're still in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read verses 18 through 24. 1 Corinthians 1 and verse starting in verse 18 again. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the cleverness of the clever I will set aside. Where is the wise man? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God, God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For indeed, Jews ask for signs and Greeks seek for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. To Jews, a stumbling block, and to Gentiles, foolishness. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. God makes foolish the wisdom of this world. This past Friday night, as was mentioned by Rick earlier in his class, was the first halftime performance of the Happy Champions. If you don't know, it's a program really just designed to help teach kind of basketball fundamentals, really dribbling, non-dribbling things to some of the young elementary school kiddos. And they learn this ball handling routine, and then they have a chance to perform it at the halftime of a few of the games, of the high school games. Rick did it for a while. And now I'm helping out with that. And it's a good opportunity to get connected with the community. But after the performance, Rick and I, we stayed to watch the rest of the game. And it was the Happy Nazareth game, which I had heard, but have now seen with my own eyes. It was a pretty big deal around here. And it was a pretty good game on Friday, one that went into overtime. And I'm sorry if you're not a big basketball fan. I'm going to talk a little bit about basketball. But this is how the game ended. Again, they're in overtime. Happy is down by 2 points, and one of the Happy players is fouled. And so and I did not mention this, but there's 1 second left. Happy is down by 2 points, there's 1 second left, and one of the Happy players is fouled, and they have two free throws. Again, down by 2 points, 1 second left. The player sinks the first free throw, so now Happy is down by 1 point, again with 1 second left. And on the second free throw, the player purposefully bounces it off of the backboard, in the hopes that either him or one of his teammates will tip it in and win the game. That didn't happen. and the ball just ricochets, and Nazareth gets the ball, and it's all over. And that decision at that moment looked pretty foolish, especially since, you know, all he had to do was make an uncontested free throw to tie it up again. Not something that I could do. That's why I say all he had to do. But, and here's the thing, if someone would have tipped it in, and they would have won the game, our thoughts on that would be completely different. Victory changes perspective, and it should change ours as well. Paul preached Christ crucified. That was his message. The Son of God dead on a cross. And you know what? That does not make sense to a whole lot of people. That looks foolish. But it makes sense to most of us. Paul preached Christ resurrected too. And again, that does not make sense to a whole lot of people. And in fact, when Paul preached in Athens, we see in Acts chapter 17 and verse 32, when they heard the resurrection of the dead, some began to sneer. That doesn't make sense to a whole lot of people. Again, it makes sense to most of us. We have taken on the life that Paul preached, which is Christ crucified. We have died to our old life, being baptized into his death, and that has also changed the way that we view our lives. We do not live for the sustenance of the world, and we do not live for the shelter of the world and the entertainment of the world and all of these things that the wisdom of the world says is the necessary things in this life. We have died to that mindset. And we have done so not just because it seems like a good idea to do so, but for the very same reason why Paul preached Christ crucified in verse 24. Because for those who are called, it is the power and the wisdom of God. It is not foolishness to us. Some might view faith in God differently, though. Some might view faith in God and living a life of faith in God as some sort of shot in the dark. And a crossing the fingers and bounding it off the backboard, hoping to win, and sure not a sure thing. But Paul did not preach Christ crucified because it was a shot in the dark. Paul had the benefit of witnesses, for one thing. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 3, Paul said, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brethren at one time, most of whom remain until now, but some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles." But then here's this in verse 8, "And last of all, as to one untimely born, he appeared to me also." Paul saw Christ. And so Christ was not a shot in the dark for him. And Paul uses the phrase in verse 26 when writing to the Corinthians. He says, "Consider your calling." And we should consider our calling. We do not have blind faith. As the world says, blind faith. We don't have blind faith. We have faith. We have listened to the witnesses, including men like Paul and the witness of the prophets who spoke a very long time before Christ ever came into this world about his coming. And we listened to the witness of the men who saw him in the flesh exactly as the prophet said that he was going to be here. But also we are the witnesses of Christ in us if we have taken on in Christ. We who were foolish and lived foolish lives, Christ was knocking and we answered, and we realize now in our lives that the fool says there is no God, and there is only a greater fool who does not want the God that we have. It is not a shot in the dark for us. Christ is not a gamble. The power of God is not a gamble. The promises of God is not a gamble. The precious blood of Christ is not a gamble. It is victory assured for us. We are victorious. Even though we are determined to be different from the world, and that seems foolish to some and silly to some. When it is all said and done, it will be the best decision that we could ever possibly make in our life. And they will realize that too. Philippians 2 and verse 9, "For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father." They will realize it too. But I guess the question that I'm getting around to is if we realize it now. Do we realize it now? Is our life something to be ashamed of? Some may think that our lives is silly, but we sure should not be the ones to fall into that thinking. I was thinking about a shameful life, and a shameful life, you know, either results in someone either being foolish in their life and just not realizing it, or being ashamed of their life. You know, never wanting to tell people about their life or what they're doing or who they are or hanging their head about how they're spending their time. Some people are living foolish lives and they know it and they don't want to talk about it. We are not being foolish for our faith in Christ. It is the power and the wisdom of God, and so we need not be ashamed to reveal who we are and to reveal why we are who we are and what we're doing in our life. The cross of Christ is not foolishness to us. It is everything. He is our life. He is why we do what we do and who we are who we are. And we have absolutely no reason in this world to hang our head if we keep it up for Him. Jesus Christ endured shame on the cross. And for what reason? To resurrect us into a life that we can be proud of. We are proud of our Lord and our Savior. It seems foolishness to some, but we are proud of our Christ who is crucified. And we should never hang our head about that. If you are ready this evening to experience the power and the wisdom of God that is Christ crucified in your life, if you'd like to take on our Lord Jesus Christ in baptism, or if you need any prayers of the congregation, please come forward.